The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, Ireland will not be directly impacted by a European Commission measure to reduce gas use because our gas grid is not connected to any other member state. We get gas through the UK, which of course is no longer a member state of the EU, and that gas coming from a Norwegian field. Now, an emergency plan was drawn up for EU countries to secure winter stocks and to try to reduce their reliance on Russian gas. And with the Russian state-controlled energy giant Gazprom saying it would cut the flow of gas through the crucial Nord Stream 1 pipeline to 20%, how will Germany cope? Well, I'm joined now by Senior Research Officer with the Economic and Social Research Institute, Muireann Lynch. Good morning, Muireann. And by German correspondent Thomas Sparrow. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you're directly in the firing line, as it were. Gazprom are saying it's a maintenance issue, hence a reduction to 20%. Does anybody in Germany believe that?
Well, the German government certainly doesn't believe that. They've said that there are no technical reasons to explain these further cuts by Russia. What they basically mean by that, according to the German government, is that the reasons are very much political in nature, and as such, Germany has continued with its preparations to secure as much gas as possible when it comes to the very difficult winter months, to diversify its supply of energy sources. And that, by the way, Pat, includes not only reactivating coal-fired power plants, something very controversial here, and the debate in the last few days is whether Germany should also keep its three remaining nuclear power plants also open. Germany was due to close them at the end of the year. So there is really, really a big debate. I would also say there's a lot of concern here in Germany about these cuts through Nord Stream 1, because Nord Stream 1 is the main pipeline through which Russia has sent gas to Germany in the past few years. And also, once it's in Germany, then goes to other European countries as well.
Now, the question of alternative supplies. Number one, if Germany's storage was full, and that might be a bit of a challenge given the lower rate of flow from Russia, how long could Germany last with its coal resources being reignited, keeping those nuclear power stations open? Could Germany get through the next winter unscathed?
Germany's storage facilities are by no means full, and something that the German climate minister, energy minister, Robert Habeck, stated last week is that they're even increasing now all the rules and regulations so as to make sure that when it comes to September, October and November, that those targets are certainly reached. Part of the whole plan here in Germany is to try and have a broad variety of energy sources, so not only to depend on the third of gas imports that come from Russia, but that is obviously not something that Germany can do overnight. So there are a lot of proposals, there are a lot of decisions that were taken, for example, using LNG terminals as well. But in general, every time the German government is asked precisely that question, the German government says, our energy security is for now guaranteed, but we have to work on further reducing our dependence on Russia.
Now, what are they saying to ordinary people? Because if everybody did a little bit in terms of maybe turning down the thermostat or not driving as much as they did or whatever, if it's an electric car using electricity that's generated, all of those kind of things, have they got a suite of measures which they're recommending to the public?
So there are three key components of Germany's emergency plan. The first one, to increase gas storage when it comes to the winter months, as I've explained. The second one, to diversify energy sources. And the third component is precisely to urge citizens, and not only citizens, but also businesses, to save as much energy as possible. That can be with measures as simple as taking shorter showers or not necessarily turning on the heating very early in the year and so on. But we have been hearing time and time again here in Germany that citizens are also not only part of the situation, but that they could also be part of the solution if they're aware that they can also save energy. At the same time, Pat, however, it's important to stress that German leaders, and in particular the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, have been saying that they will do as much as they can to help citizens that are particularly affected, not only by the current situation, but also by the increase in prices. In fact, Chancellor Scholz interrupted his summer holidays last week, returned on Friday to Berlin, gave a press conference in which he announced a new series of measures to help those citizens that are most affected. And by the way, not only citizens, but also companies You may have heard that Germany has now decided to bail out Uniper, the energy giant that is Germany's largest importer of Russian gas. So there is a lot happening now here in Germany, and it all has to do with this reliance that Germany has had on Russian energy. Germany has reduced its dependence since the war began. Before the war, it was around 55% of gas that Germany imported from Russia. Now it's around a third, and Germany wants to continue reducing that number as well.
Thomas, thank you very much for joining us from Germany. That's German correspondent Thomas Sparrow. Listening to that conversation, Muireann Lynch, who is Senior Research Officer with the ESRI. Muireann, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, we knew going into the negotiations in Europe that we probably would get an exemption from the 15% reduction in gas consumption simply because we don't use Russian gas.
Yeah, I suppose it is because we don't use Russian gas, but it's probably not quite that simple. There's also the fact that we're not directly connected to the EU gas grid, and we don't have any storage on the island of Ireland. So if we had storage here, there would be an argument for reducing our gas usage and trying to shore up our storage, which is exactly, as we heard there, what they're trying to do in Germany and elsewhere across Europe. However, given that we don't have any gas storage, if we were to reduce our gas usage, all that would really mean is that we reduce our gas demand from Great Britain. And then the question is, well, let's say we did that, what would happen? Well, there's a couple of options. One is Britain would shore up their gas storage on our behalf. Another is they would reduce their demand from the rest of Europe. Or the third is that they do neither of those things, and all it would mean is that prices would lower in Britain. Now, without some kind of an agreement for Britain to either store gas on our behalf or reduce their gas demand from other sources, all that would really do is reduce prices for British consumers. So my guess is that's really what was behind the fact that there was no real point in us reducing our gas usage if it meant that there was no meaningful way for us to contribute to gas storage in advance of the winter.
Now, talk to me about the possibility of gas storage. I mean, we all of a certain age remember the gasometers that were around Dublin City for town's gas, which was stored there, and they would go up and down depending on how much gas was in those gasometers. You know, small enough quantities, I suppose, in terms of a modern demand. But is there a scope for geological storage of gas in caverns, in underground places where there would be no leakage?
At a technical level, yes, there are various options. So some is, as you say, use geological features, kind of the Kinsale field sort of acted as a storage field as well. Or you can build storage facilities and kind of just industrial tanks, essentially, where you can store gas. LNG terminals tend to also have gas storage on site as well, because otherwise what happens when you get a shipment of LNG is you just suddenly get this great big rush of gas from one place as opposed to a flow of gas through a pipeline, which is what we have. So there are various technical options, but at the moment we don't have any gas storage facility on the island, and that means that all of the gas that we have stored on the island is just sitting in the pipes right now. The only gas we have stored is what we already have under our feet flowing through the gas network right now.
Is it time for us to build an LNG storage facility so that we can import LNG? You know, the arguments about the Shannon Estuary and so on. And we've also had a discussion on this program about, pumping in LNG from the actual Kinsale pipe that runs from the old field beyond the horizon into our gas grid.
Yeah, so there's only one piece of research on LNG in Ireland that I'm aware of from an economic perspective. And it was researchers previously of the ESRI who modelled the Irish and British gas market. And what they found was that an LNG terminal or gas storage or both would have a positive impact for consumers in that it would reduce the level and the volatility of gas prices. So I think when the decision was made to rule out LNG, essentially, one of the things that people were particularly concerned about was the possibility of importing shale gas. And there was this idea that if we're going to not use shale gas in Ireland, we really shouldn't be using it from elsewhere. I suppose the thing is, we are connected to Britain, which does have LNG, and that undoubtedly includes shale gas as well. I think as well, at the time when the policy decision was made, people were aware of the possibility of an energy crisis, but these events are what we call high impact, low probability events. However, now we're in the middle of one of those low probability events. So I suppose sometimes when you consider something in the abstract, it features into the discussion a bit differently from when it's actually happening.
There's a lot of kind of institutional hypocrisy, I suppose. I mean, we're against nuclear energy, but we import from people who use nuclear to generate energy. So we get other people to do the dirty work. We take our refuse and we export it to other countries to do the dirty work of cleaning up after us. So perhaps we should take more responsibility for our own futures. Muireann, thank you very much for joining us. Senior Research Officer with the Economic and Social Research Institute, Muireann Lynch.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.